Fevzi Turkalp is ready to go. He is the Gadget Detective. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at Gadget Detective. And he's here with the latest tech news and a gorgeous gadget to bring to our attention. Hi there, Fevzi.
Afternoon.
Now, I thought it had to be this, really. Facebook changing its name. My goodness, you don't very often get a brand that huge that decides to do something quite that radical. Was the writing on the wall for you in light of recent events?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like even the largest brands in the world may sometimes feel the need to change their name, move to another city and hope that no one recognises them.
Yes,
you
know, it's true.
The timing of it is interesting. I mean, to be clear, Facebook, the service, will still be called Facebook. WhatsApp will still be WhatsApp and Instagram will still be Instagram. But the company that owns it, the corporation, will be known as Meta, is now known as Meta. Which is just kind of funny because I found out today in Hebrew, Meta means dead. So a lot of Israelis having a good laugh at the moment, I think. Interesting. You know, and there's a long history of that, by the way, of different brands having unfortunate meanings in certain languages.
What was that? There was an Italian car, wasn't there? What was that? Do you know the one I mean? There was an Italian car that meant something like it doesn't go, or it's hopeless, or it's broken, or something in English.
Yeah,
I can't think what it was.
I will try and find that before the end of our conversation,
right.
Because it's quite interesting that they, but then again, it's very hard to find a word that has no adverse meaning in any language, you know, because there's so many languages, and sometimes, let me just see if I can find it. Yeah, Rolls-Royce changed the name of its Silver Mist car as Mist, which translates in German as excrement. Nokia Lumia, the Lumia phone in 2011, in Spanish is a synonym for prostitute. Honda apparently had a lucky escape with the name. This one may be the one you're thinking of. They had a car named Fitta, F-I-T-T-A, which is a very vulgar term in Swedish, which I won't even tell you what it means in Swedish.
Right.
But
I don't think it was that one. I think there's still one out there, but never mind. That's a lovely selection. Lovely selection.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. But yes, I think the timing of it is interesting, and I think they just wanted to have some positive news and maybe, you know, maybe just have people not recognise them for what they are straight away. It also points to the fact that Facebook's essentially dividing its business into two broad categories, those of the existing apps and those developments of trying to work out and own what the internet will become. So, and the idea is the metaverse, hence Meta. So a metaverse in the first instance will probably be like a virtual 3D space in which people can, via the internet, occupy that space, you know. So it's not just like looking at a screen. You may be wearing a virtual reality helmet or augmented reality glasses, but you will feel a more immersive experience. That you may be at a conference table, looking around the table to your left and right and seeing the people around you, interacting with them, using a whiteboard walking across the room and using the whiteboard in a way that they can all see. So it will be a more immersive experience. So you can use it for work. You can use it for entertainment. We've already heard about things like virtual concerts that people have been attending and all that sort of thing. So initially, just a 3D virtual space, eventually a complete world.
Mm.
And I think the thing that people should focus their minds on is it the best idea in the world or a world to have Facebook owning the world in which we inhabit? Because as this technology becomes more sophisticated, more immersive, less clunky in terms of having to wear helmets and so forth, these worlds will be real and we will spend most of our time in them, I suspect, if not all. We will holiday in them. We will go to prison in them. We will travel to work and be at work in them. We will even have relationships in them. Yeah. And think about, you know, years ago, there was, I think it's still going, in fact, Second Life, which was a virtual world, which is hugely successful. And there were people who make their livings in there, making virtual items to sell for real money in virtual worlds, right? And the thing is, that was decades ago where the technology isn't where it is now and certainly isn't where it will be. And it will perhaps Second Life was an idea which was a little bit ahead of its time. And I think that Facebook will be building these virtual worlds. It already owns the company Oculus, which is the best known brand for virtual reality headsets. Mm. You know, they bought the brand for a reason. And I just think that we need to tread very carefully, because this is probably the future of the internet. So the internet will not be, you know, screens on our smartphones and tablets and laptops. It will be this immersive internet that we live inside. And if you think that Facebook can gather a lot of information about you now, imagine what it can gather about you in a virtual world that you inhabit, orders of magnitude more. If you walk in a certain way in the virtual world, Facebook will work out that you may be injured. You may have done your back in, for example, and they will know that, and they will be able to target advertising to you. Maybe your gaze lasts a little bit too long with a particular individual. Maybe they can realize that you're attracted to that person. You know, so all sorts of things will be Facebook's. And I can only state a personal opinion, but I would think that we need to have a legal framework that protects us from proprietary worlds and the rules of those worlds, because this will be just like, you know, I was going to say like a government, but more like God.
Goodness,
you know, they will own the world that we inhabit.
Imagine trying to write that legislation. Oh my goodness.
I know, and it's really disheartening, because as we see the British and American governments trying to grapple with Facebook, I've said this to you before, it's very clear to me that they have not the first clue of what Facebook is, how to regulate it, and the threats that it poses to us.
Well, as I said before, why aren't you special advisor to the government or the president or the world on these matters? Because only you understand it, or a few people like you, to the same level as those people who are going to be the ones doing it.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so, but the people who would be perfect for this are people who've worked at Facebook and other social media companies, as well as, you know, academics and futurologists and forward thinkers like that. That they could make a panel, as I think we've said before, you know, like there is Sage for advising the government on COVID. You could have the equivalent of Sage for advising the government on regulation of social media. And also looking ahead, the problem is, regulators are always trying to play catch up. You know, first Facebook or whoever it is comes up with something, and 10 years later, we're still trying to work out how to deal with it. It's the same, by the way, with reproductive medicine. You know, we're still trying to grapple with some of the social and philosophical issues that arise out of new technology as it comes about. You know, years later, there's still aspects to, you know, test tube babies and, you know, babies with you know, three parents and things like that. And we haven't really managed, you know, these questions are easy to pose and hard to answer, to be fair to government, but it needs to be done, because you really can't have huge companies with unfettered power to create and regulate worlds that we become dependent upon. Yeah. I mean, if you think you're dependent upon the internet now, you will be dependent upon these virtual worlds for your very existence. Well, because if your family and friends all in... I mean, think about WhatsApp, just as a simple example. Try not having WhatsApp. I won't have WhatsApp just on general principle because of their privacy policies or lack thereof. But I daily have to explain to people that I don't have WhatsApp and then why. Mm-hmm. And it's a very tiresome conversation. It's only because, for me, it's a matter of principle that I don't have a WhatsApp account. But, you know... It's really hard, because people expect you to have it, and all your friends and all your business contacts are on there. And it will be the same with Facebook's metaverse, I fear. And therefore, we better think quickly, because this is starting now. They've already launched a couple of these virtual worlds as a trial. In the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be a real problem if we haven't legislated. And before legislation, we have to have understanding and some sort of national conversation. And frankly, you know, this country and other countries are not in a place at the moment where they can have the headspace to think about these things.
Just before we finish this section and move on to the gadget of the week, to end on a lighter note, I think I found the car I was thinking of.
Okay.
I remembered it quite wrongly, though. It's the Ford Pinto, And it didn't do very well in Brazil because in Brazil, are you ahead of me here? In Brazil, a pinto is the endowment of a gentleman who's not very well endowed.
Well, that's so a good not mix then. For
many
the,
guys
for the
wanted
Honda
to drive
Fitter,
it.
Then.
Yes, there we are. You see, it's all worked
let's
out.
Let's just say the Honda Fitter would be its counterpart.
Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective, is here. And here comes the gadget of the week. What have you got, Fevzi?
It's an unusual one. It's something called a gaming mouse, which is not a very athletic mouse. It's something that people use to play games on computers. So the brand is Mountain. The product is called the Makalu 67, and I must confess, I had to look this up. The Makalu is the fifth highest peak in the world, and it's part of the Himalayas. And the fact that it's called the Makalu 67 is because this is a very, although it's a good-sized mouse, sort of medium to large-sized mouse used for, you know, playing computer games, it's very lightweight, and I'll explain how they did that. And it weighs 67 grams, hence it is called the Mountain Makalu 67. One of the ways that they've achieved, Why is a mouse, a gaming mouse, how does that differ from a normal mouse? That we're talking computer mice here. A gaming mouse has to be responsive, agile in use, highly accurate, and it doesn't at all hurt if it's got flashing RGB lights on it or pulsing lights on it that makes it look the part. So how do they make a mouse responsive? First of all, you don't have wireless. Wireless introduces a delay. It's very convenient. But a wire has no delay, no perceptible delay at all, whereas a wireless can have a small delay. So it's a wired mouse, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second, it has to be lightweight. So what they've done is they've made a sort of ribbed design where they've cut slots out of the surface of the mouse. So where you put your palm of your hand and your thumb rests on the side, there's a lot of plastic missing. You know, you can actually see the innards, and they've had to develop a special coating of the printed circuit board to make sure that one's sweat doesn't fuse the mouse's circuitry. The other thing is it has to be robust. So they've used these Omron switches for the main switches on the mouse. And they're, I think they're rated at something like 50 million switches or something, but very, very long. And then it has to be agile. So the feet of the mice, the little pads underneath it, are made of Teflon, PTFE, polytetrafluoroethylene, I think, if my schoolboy chemistry serves me, but it makes the mouse glide over any surface very smoothly, so it becomes very responsive. And then the other thing is accurate. They use a particular type of sensor in there that gives you an accuracy of 19,000 separate dots per inch, so it can resolve 19,000 different positions in 1 inch, which is quite remarkable. It does have the RGB sort of red, green, blue lights around the scrolling wheel. So imagine you've got a left button and a right button, and in between those you've got a wheel that you can scroll, and around that scrolling wheel and the button next to it are I think it's up to 8 lights that you can set. And with the software you can actually set what configuration you want for the mouse, the lighting, the key assignments and so forth. And then the mouse can remember up to 5 different profiles. So say you've got different people using the mouse, or you've got the same person using it in different games, you can set the mouse up to be configured optimally for each game and each user of the game, which is, you know, up to 5 profiles, which is pretty good.
That's
and
good, yep.
The software is appropriately called Basecamp, again with the Mountain with the Mountain theme. So I like this. This is Mountain is not known as one of the biggest brands, but this mouse stands up to its sort of competition from its larger competitors, I think. It's rather nice. It looks the part. Available in black or white. Both are nice. I'd be hard-pressed to choose between them. Price-wise, not cheap, but quite typical for this type of mouse. I saw it on a large website this morning for £46.99, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, pretty fair price for this sort of tech. And I've given it 4 stars out of 5.
Great to have you on, as always. We shall talk again in another 7 days. In the meantime, if you want to get much more where that came from, do follow Fevzi at Gadget Detective.